Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm I just was having a discussion today, but it's a bit of a discussion about a person who sits Shiva during Hanukkah. There's a bit of a discussion in Halacha and it is a Shiva whether they say Hanan. And the Mishabura actually discusses and he says not to say Hanan. During there is a minute that a lot of people do say halal, and as mentioning, whether the offer walks out or not, there's a bit of a discussion about it or not. Okay. And I just mentioned that in the Mishnah Berurah himself, I've got Eidus. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, you can see the Mishnah Berurah himself sat Shiva on Hanukkah and he didn't say halal. What's Mariah? His Yotzeit, we mentioned before that in Shin Lamed Beis. He quotes his son was Niftar on Chaf Kislev, making Chaf Kislev at least the Kavura couldn't have been earlier than Chaf. So Chaf, at least Chaf, so you've got 7 days, 6 days, whatever, so you've got at least till Chaf Hei, Chavov, which was Negev, and yet he writes in Hilchos Hanukkah that a person doesn't say halal. So the Mishnah Berurah's opinion was not to say halal, but the Ma'aseh Mefitzach that Taka. Halal said the Gamri, they're just yoked to the Brocha from the Shliach Tzibur. Just to get back into the Halochas, just into Santa Zachen, just to flavor up a little bit, I just want to know who was the first person to learn Chumash with Rashi?
Ariza.
Ariza? Who's the first person?
Rashi's father learned Chumash together with Rashi.
Okay? This is Rashi's Rebbe. Either Rashi's father or Rashi's Rebbe learned Chumash together with Rashi. Okay, that's just to get into the mood of things.
Okay.
Let's get into it. Let me just ask you, how is it possible that you have a person who he comes into his friend's house and he says, "Where's your menorah?" And you show him your menorah, and he says, he snaps off, he bends one branch of the menorah, and he walks out and he says, "Lahata, I don't owe you a penny. You've got this £1,000 candelabra, you've got £1,000 menorah, £1,000 beautiful menorah candelabra, and you snap off one branch of it, and you get taken to Beis Din. There's all turning them around, there's Dina Dianta, they're all getting ready, and you have a koach hataina that makes you potter. What koach hataina have you got? What taina have you got to say that you're potter?
Where's
your money? Seven branches. Where's your money? That could be a taina. That could be one way of dealing with fees.
Thank you very much.
What? If a person owns a candelabra which has got seven branches to it, in Shulchan Aruch in Kuf Mem Aleph in Yeridea says that you can't have a candelabra which has got seven branches because it's similar to Vashtet in Vashtet. This is similar to the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. You go to Beis Hamikdash, Mitzvah Hashem, you'll see a menorah which has got seven branches. We can't copy a menorah which has got seven branches. And therefore, if you've got seven branches, if someone were to come, theoretically, again, this is not the way forward to deal with Isurim, it's not the way forward to come into the house and snap it. But if someone were theoretically to come and branch it, and take off the branch, and then say, I don't owe you because it's Osa, then Maisa, he would be able to say that he's Potter, based on the fact that you can't have such a thing. So
why can't he
take it home with him? That's it. That's a chap. You're going to have to give back the silver. It's only going to pat him from damage that he snapped it off, but actually he can't walk home with it. Why did he have it? That's a good catch. Why can't he have it? The Mark says you can't have it.
You can't
even if you don't use it. The Maisa, the Shahia is an Issa, even to keep it in your house is a bit of a problem. Generalized. They're not talking about Hanukkah. That's a generalized question. Next one, okay? Let's move on to the next one.
You mean this question about
let me ask you, how is it possible?
That seminar is only if it's that way, or
Pesach Shuvah discusses this shayla. Pesach Shuvah discusses. That's all very nice when you have a candelabra, which is seven, which looks like a menorah. But if you have a round one, perhaps that should be okay. So the Pesach Shuvah don't have to even if it's round.
Do they make?
They're selling all the
shayla. She's got seven kids.
You know what's funny? They make them.
Did you not say one shield if you've got seven not to light also?
There's still an issue if you have seven rounds, there's still a bit of a problem there. Okay.
It's a very fair thing.
It's a bit of a
shame. You've got it at home, what do you do? What is it?
Well, we can read the Shulchan Aruch out. I mean, it's free. The Shulchan Aruch says in Kufa Malam, I think it's Simchas. We can have okay, well, I think maybe we can spend the bed and we can convey a half a share on it. So we own as the Maisa. Again, this is just a Chidah. It's supposed to be a Chidah. A Chidah is a riddle. Right, let's go to the next one. I think we're going to mention the Chidah of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef's got a nice Chidah for tomorrow. He's got a very nice one. I already said the answer. Okay, I suppose even with the answer, I couldn't help it either, so it was quite hard. It goes like this: how is it possible that you have tomorrow that you lay in five aliyahs? How many aliyahs do you call up on Rosh Chodesh? Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, four Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah Rosh Chodesh, also four. But there's a Chetimsa where you can tomorrow theoretically lay in five, and let's just say straight away, the kids of Shulchan Aruch brings a nice chat, which we mentioned. That if a person forgot when he came to the fourth aliyah, he just did like every Rosh Chodesh. He just went through again like you always do. The fourth aliyah, you go back again from wherever it is, the Yom HaShabbos. Yeah. So then he realizes after the fourth aliyah, hang on a second, didn't give a chance to the Chanukah one. So the halacha is, if you got a second sefer, then you're mechuyav to have another aliyah. So the fifth aliyah says a hechatum, so you have five aliyahs in a day of an all day like tomorrow. Next one, we've got to get cracking, we've got too much to get through. You've got here, like this, which one should we do? Okay, fine. Okay, this is just a normal yadiya. No, is it going to take too long? Okay, this is just a geshmak echad. How is it possible to have five consecutive days that you don't say, not consecutive days, 5 days, there's a day in the month, right? Yom Aleph, Yom Beis, Yom Gimel, one of the days of the Chodesh. That for 5 months running, you won't be saying Tachanun on that date. There's a date, not Rosh Chodesh, also Rosh Chodesh is Tachanun. There's another day in the month that for 5 months straight on that date of the month, you won't be saying Rosh Chodesh, Hey, Wavav. For some people, it's not going to get the shadow anyway, because they don't want to say Tachanun the lot of the year anyway. It's always the odd side. But I'm talking about people say Tachanun, a date of a month, which for 5 months straight you will not be saying Tachanun on that date.
Nisan
Yasiva. What date? Give me a date. Hey?
Shvat.
I need 5 months.
Tesla.
Okay, you need five.
Two Shvat.
Where are you going to start from? Which goes? Consecutive months. Consecutive month, okay. Chodesh Adar. Adar, very good. Nisan. Yeah, and Sivan we're going to struggle with.
And Tamil?
No,
Sivan you don't say
Tamil.
Sivan you don't say Tamil.
According to some.
That's what?
Adar's going to use Dalit.
That's what? It's already pushing it.
Two Adar.
And it can also be your Dalit as well, but Etzem, your Dalit as well. Okay, but that's it. Okay, fine. I think we're going to have to get more challenging ones.
Right, okay.
As the idea.
Hang on a second. Okay, now,
listen, let's have a look. Five consecutive days that each day is called a different day, it's a different spiritual day. It's called a different name. Each day, you know, it's a Shana. What day have you got? Six consecutive days. That every day is called a different day. Every day, one's called a Shana, one's called. Thank you. Listen to this. Imagine Chol HaMoed Tuesday. Wednesday is Hashanah Rabbah. Thursday is
Shmini
Atzeres,
Simchas
Torah,
it's a
Shabbat, and then a normal day. Okay. I think I want a riddle with a bit more meat on it. Let's find a riddle with a bit more meat. Let's get a bit more meat on the shayla. Okay. What's the biggest mesachta in Shas?
What?
What's the Bobasa? Okay, so everyone says Bobasa.
How many? The Shabbos. Or the Shabbos.
Brochus.
Key finds nine in Shabbos.
So now the biggest Masechta in Shabbos in words. How many?
Brochus.
So they say Brochus, and the Maaseh says a bit. If you look at it, some say Shabbos has got more. You should know Bob Basra, which has got 175 daf. Yeah, because it starts off base. So Aleph is not included. So Kuf Samach Zayin, right? It's a Kuf Samach Vav. If a Kuf Ayin Vav dafim, 176 daf. It's not going to get you 176, it gets you 175 because you miss out Aleph. So the Maaseh is they're very short Amudim. Why are they short Amudim? Why are they short? Why are they small Amudim? Because Rashbam took over Rashi. Rashbam's Marek. So from Daf Chavches, Chavzayin, Rashbam wrote all the way till the end of Kuf Ayin Vav, right? And he wrote a lot. And Rashbam's cruise through, he cruised through the Rashbam, right? You've seen the Rashbam Bob Basra? That's why the Amudim are very, very small. So, okay, the Maaseh, Bob Basra is actually one of the smaller Masechtas. Rav Chaim Kanievsky had a minig. He needs to make another siyum. So overnight he finished Bob Basra, 175 daf. Overnight he finished Bob Basra. I think he was an extra day ahead, so he just did Bob Basra that night and he was yotza. It's easy because it's a small Masechta compared to Brochus, it's bigger. So right. Okay, next one. So now, what mitzvah can you only be mekayim if you're sitting down? What mitzvah can you only be mekayim when you're sitting down?
What?
I got this. What? You can only be mekayim the mitzvah of standing up for a chacham, for a parent, only when you're sitting down. Right? Okay, that's number one. Number two is achilas matzah. Achilas matzah, you can only be mekayim achilas matzah if you're sitting down, because you need a seva. So you can't do a seva standing up. So two mitzvahs that you can only do sitting down is standing up for the elderly and also sitting down, also for the elderly. Just agav, just as a idea, not much of a riddle. Do you know where Tosfos brings a typical English name?
Peter.
Who said this? Shkoyach, thank you. Thank you, yeah, Gittin. He read Tosfos brings it, Rabbeinu Peter, right? Okay, we've got Rabbeinu Peter. Also, he quotes Albert. Yeah, Albert. Tosfos in Brochus brings Albert when he actually speaks. We quoted this Tosfos a few times that says that you have to sit down when you make a brocha achrona. When you make hazon, when you make halamichi, you should sit down. What's the mekor? It's not Tosfos, b'shem Rabbeinu Albert. From Rabbeinu Albert, you should sit down. You know why? Because v'savata shev ace. V'savata is a play of words. Shev ace. Okay, this is just random zachen. I want to tell you something. Tosfos quotes the Rambam only once. Yeah, do you know where he quotes it? He quotes the Rambam. He quotes Shiz the Rambam. Tosfos doesn't quote Rambams. Yeah, Tosfos is the same sort of time, but early, different place. He quotes the Rambam in Menachos, daf Mem Beis. So it's very easy to remember, right? Re'ei Menachos Mem Beis is Rambam. Reish Re'ei Menachos Mem Beis. You remember Shiz the Rambam. We bring Shiz the Rambam there. Okay, fine. Let's move on. You've got over here. What? There's a father and son that their names are both the names of places in Eretz Yisrael. Father and son. A father and son, which is mentioned in the Torah, and both names of father and son are both names of places in Eretz Yisrael.
B'nai Brak.
B'nai Brak.
B'nai Brak.
What's the saying? That means a father's name is a name of a place in Eretz Yisrael, and the son is also
Shechem.
Chevron.
Okay, it's a mistake.
No, Shechem
is not. Okay, fine. Chevron Ben Kahos. Okay, right. We'll have to move about that one. Okay, right. That I got it. There's a mistake over there. Right, next one. There's a reason why I didn't get the answer there. Okay. Then we've got a next one. Okay. Okay, let's say like this. How is it possible that a person's fasting during Yom Kippur, he's fasting during Yom Kippur, a lady's fasting during Yom Kippur, and she's allowed to eat till 2 o'clock in the afternoon? From 2 o'clock, she's not allowed to fast.
And the 3 days over.
So again, till 2 o'clock, she's allowed to eat, and from 2 o'clock, she's not allowed to eat.
She has a baby at 2 o'clock.
She had a baby 3 days before that, 2 o'clock. So then there's a shita, there's an opinion which the Rebbe brings down that works for his age. So you got 3 days from the time he had the laser. So it's possible that she can eat till 2 o'clock. From 2 o'clock, she has to fast.
How's it possible to fast on Shabbos?
How is it possible to fast on the Shabbos if Yom Kippur falls on the Shabbos? Besides Yom Kippur to fall on the Shabbos, Tanis Chalom. You can fast on Tanis Chalom. Aseres Ah, very good shvakar. So when can you, theoretically, if Asar B'Tevus was fall on the Shabbos,
we will.
That was Friday.
The reason why.
Until
Kiddush.
Well, you're not fasting on Shabbos. Why are you fasting on Friday?
What? We can't ask. It's going to fall on a Friday.
Yes.
Fall on a Friday.
Friday.
You mean you'll come into Shabbos
while it's a bit?
Yeah.
What's the biggest advantage in the Torah?
Oh, go on.
Tistoleh.
You got your shvaka, okay. They should say that with, you know, people go collecting. Sometimes I like to give them out money about their name. So there's a person called David. So whatever, okay, we'll have to work it out. You should know the there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's Aaron HaKohen, right, the brothers, and who was their sister?
Miriam.
There's one other, the Ramor's name was called Moshe. Moshe of the Ramor is buried next to his brother called Aaron, and they both had a sister called Miriam. Just Agav. I need to finish off with an interesting Nekudah. Just Agav, you know, we say, till when can you light the menorah on Hanukkah? Ad shetichle regal. When else does the Gemara recall such a zman? That you've got the amount of time you're allowed to do a mitzvah until ad shetichle regal nashuk. That's regarding tefillin. Because we know that you can put on tefillin in the daytime. The Gemara brings that Rabbi Yaakov says, do you know when you can put tefillin on? It's just interesting that the Gemara mentioned. Okay,
that's why we do it all day.
Now, Arabis, I just want to mention just a nice vault over here that we've got over here. The emes is too much. That's what I'm saying. I have to make sure to pull out the right ones. I have to throw a very geschmackish shtickle that he mentioned on Friday night. Rabbi Sadia mentioned a very nice vault. He says like this from a label of Ega. He says very, very geschmack. He says, Rabsadia Greenfeld. He says a very nice, pshat. He says, from Blaibla Ega was a grandson of the Kibbe Ega. He said, when it comes to the tzkufa of Yomim Noroim, we get very busy. The way we inspire ourselves, how do we inspire ourselves? We knock ourselves on the head. We get hold of a shofar, we do slichas, we bang al chayt, we do kaporas, we do ganze zachen to inspire our soul to be mischazik ourselves from Torah. That's how we do it throughout Hashanah Rabbah. And it comes to even Simchas Torah. That's really the method all the way through. That's one way. He said, Moshe Maldova Deima, Hoshteit Taka, that if a person's child is sleeping and the father wants to wake him up. So there's two methods of waking up the child. Either you can wake up the child by shoving him, right? Or say, wake up in the morning, pulling off the pillow, pulling off the blanket. That's one way of waking him up. There's another way of waking him up, making the child wake up himself by opening the blinds, opening the curtains, switching on the lights, switching on the music, and then the child realizes, hang on a second, it's daytime, let's wake up. Right? There's two different ways of doing it. So, Zot Mulev Le'ega, what we've been busy doing till Hanukkah is knocking our souls, waking up our souls, our neshamas, to wake up and bashing it. But from Hanukkah, the way we inspire our neshamas to Torah mitzvahs is by realizing, telling our neshama, hello, we are awake. Let's hop around Torah mitzvahs. That means it's a different method of Avodas Hashem. We are talking to the neshama and saying to the neshama, listen, it's daytime, let's wake up, let's hop around Torah mitzvahs, and that's the way forward. That's what Rabbi Leib Egan is saying, that's the way forward when it comes to Hanukkah as opposed to Yom Kippur.